Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your guest, Stacey Emery, and I have my awesome co-host on the line. Did I say I'm your guest or your host? I'm your host,
Stacey Emery. I was just laughing.
Girl, I was like, did I just say that? Joining you live from Atlanta, and I have my awesome co-host that's laughing at me, Dr. Ayo Kedar, on the line. Hey, Ayo.
Hey, everybody.
I was like, did I just say that? But yeah, so I'm excited. It's funny because I'm already feeling a little silly. And it's not that we're discussing a silly topic. It's just interesting being able to have some gentlemen on the line tonight because you just never know what guys are going to say on the phone. I'm not trying to be sexist in any way, but you just never know what the fellas are going to say. And especially considering tonight's topic. Now, for those of you that may have missed the show last week, we discussed interracial relationships and marriage and how it related to the family. And so the title of the show has been The Gumbo Family. Well, this is the second part of that series, and while we were talking last week, we were like, you know, it would really be great to get a male perspective on this discussion, and so this week, we decided to go ahead and invite some men into the conversation. So we have two gentlemen that will be joining us shortly on this call, you know, on the show, and it's going to be great for us just to hear their perspective, what their thoughts are in terms of interracial dating and relationship. And so I'm excited about that. So if I sound lonely, it's just that I'm excited more so than anything else. But we thank you for joining us. Also, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, any concerns about this topic, please feel free to give us a call. You can call in at 347-989-0206. And also feel free to join us in the chat room. So the conversation will be going on there, will be going on here. And please know that when we have these discussions, we are clearly just sharing our own thoughts. We're sharing our own perspectives, meaning you don't necessarily have to agree with what's being said on this show. And as I said before, if you have any, you know, different thoughts or a different perspective that you want to share, please feel free to give us a call and let us know what you think. And so, Ayo, last week when we started the show, before we even bring our guest in, we talked briefly about this email that's been circulating for a couple of years. Now, some sites say it's a hoax. Others say it's not. You know, honestly, it doesn't matter if it's really, if there's any validity to it or not. I think it's still an interesting topic because the article that I'm speaking to or referring to was an article in Sister to Sister magazine, allegedly. Let me put that up there. Allegedly, this was an article in Sister to Sister magazine, and it's supposed to be a letter written by, her name is A Disgusted White Girl. And in this letter, she addresses African-American women, and she's talking about how many black men are deciding to date white women now, and she goes in to say, she's really blasting African-American women, talking about why men are choosing not to be with sisters anymore and are choosing to be with white women. And so, of course, this just raised a huge buzz. A lot of people were upset about the email. A lot of people were concerned about it. Some people say it was truly a man that wrote this. But I like it because it starts off with her letter, and then it goes to a response from a 28-year-old black man from Atlanta. And he's an educated black man, so he talks about his accomplishments. I guess that's just to give him a little bit more credibility as far as him responding to this letter. But in this letter, basically, she's saying that, you know, she, before becoming engaged to a black man, that she was always approached by black men. You know, black men were always willing to wine and dine her and take her around the world and, you know, just basically do everything for her. And she said that she was tired of all the dirty looks that she would get out in public from black women. And she said she couldn't help it that, you know, black men are attracted to white women. And so she goes on to name all these celebrities, African-American male celebrities that like white women or they say prefer white women. And so she names like Bryant Gumbel, She talks about Charles Barkley being married to a white woman. She talks about Quincy Jones, Montel Williams. You know, we've heard them all, the Tyson Beckford and Cuba Gooding Jr. I mean, really, it's a very long list of men that she uses as examples of, you know, black men that prefer white women. And so she says that she was angry when she wrote the letter because she's just tired of all the, you know, the looks and the snide comments and so forth like that. And so she wanted to address it. Now, in this same email, the brother responds, and he goes on to just talk about why, you know, he would be with the black woman. And I love the way he went about it because he didn't say anything. He didn't say too many negative things. I mean, he did say a couple of things. You know, he talked about white women and their insecurities and their fears and so forth. But, you know, he just didn't really blast women like I thought he could have. He didn't really blast them. But I thought it was really good the way he just, you know, he was very articulate in the email. And so, like I said, I want to talk about that a little bit more because I know personally for me, like I said, when I first read it, I was like, whoa, like this is crazy that this woman would even write something like this and that they would even publish this in a magazine. But as I read it a few times and discussed it with a few people, you know, I could see where the twist was in the letter. Now, you said you did read this, right, Io? You said you came across this?
I think I did. So I don't, you know,
okay.
I think I did. It's been a while since I have read it.
Okay. Okay. Well, we've talked about it offline. So now, like I said, I want to hear a male perspective on this. So we have two gentlemen that are on the line with this. Now, one is a married man, a married African-American man, okay, family man, and an educated brother, you know, handling business in his family, raising kids, taking care of home. And then we have a younger biracial man, okay, a younger biracial man, educated as well, ambitious, progressive, just, you know, doing things. And I want to get their take, and I'll let them tell you a little bit more about who they are. I'm trying not to give too much information because I want you to hear it from them. But I want both of these men to introduce themselves and basically tell the audience who they are and a little bit more about your background in terms of the relationships that you guys are involved in now. So I'm going to start off with you, CB. CB, I want you to go ahead and just tell the people, hey, and I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. And just tell us a little bit about who you are and what your experience has been.
Hello, my name is Carlton. I am 35. I am the married man that she is speaking of. I have a wife, 7 children.
Wow.
With blended family, we actually we called ourselves the Brady Bunch when we first got together because we both brought children into the relationship, of course, from previous marriages I was married prior to. I work, I am educated, I love my family, I love the life that I live, I'm very happy, very content and everything. But I have experienced a lot in regards to relationships, interracial relationships as well. Actually, my wife is biracial herself. She is Italian and black. So I can speak on this from both sides of the table. I've lived in several places across the country. I have experienced a lot. I've come in contact with a lot of different types of people. And because of that, you know, I base everything off of experience. So when I'm speaking on this topic, it's based off of things that I actually personally have done or, you know, that I know firsthand people who actually do the same things as well. I am one of those people who look at it like a relationship shouldn't be based off of anything specific when it comes to race. I don't think that that should make any difference to anyone at all. That's just my personal opinion. I just think that if you find someone that makes you happy, if y'all are on common ground, whatever that ground may be, then, you know, if it makes you happy, then, you know, and you feel like that relationship can prosper, then you should, you know, take the journey. You won't know until, you know, you venture out and you try something. You learn from experience. And I don't pass judgment on anyone. You know, I'm very open in my beliefs. I'm very open in my opinions about specific things. And I will be happy to share my opinion in regards to this topic tonight.
Awesome, awesome. So we will be back to you because I have some questions for you.
Okay.
But I'm going to go ahead and introduce our other caller, our other guest that's on the line, Q. Hey, Q.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
How's it going?
Let's see, background, as you stated earlier, I'm biracial, black and Korean. Currently, I'm dating a black girl. Most of my relationships have been with black women. For the most part, like Carlton said, it's not really because I have a preference. It's more so when you're into someone, you're just into someone. You don't see color or anything of that nature. You just see a person that you want to spend your time with. So, this could be an interesting topic. I'd like to hear what everybody has to say.
Awesome. Awesome. So let me go ahead and start with this then. I'll start with you, Q. I talked about this email about from the disgusted white girl, well, the letter from the disgusted white girl,
right.
Talking about, you know, successful black men preferring white women. What are your thoughts about that?
It's funny because it's almost true because all the names she named, I mean, those are famous black men who date white women. But
right.
As far as is their preference, I don't know, because I don't think any of those men has ever solely dated white women in their entire history. I'm sure they've dated black women as well. It may be just at that particular time when they're ready to settle down, they were just more in tune with that person, and it just so happens to be a white person.
Right.
But also with those famous people and with the pressures of media and having to have that trophy wife, you kind of have to play by almost the rules, if that makes sense, you know?
Definitely. Now, in this email, discussed, you know, white girl, she says that basically the men that she's dated told her that, you know, it was slim pickings in terms of black women because she said either the black women were too fat or too loud, too mean, too argumentative, too needy, too materialistic, or carrying too much excess baggage. Right.
Whoa.
Okay. Now you all ready to fight when I first read it, right? I felt the kind of way when I first read this. But Carlton, what's your take on the article?
It's funny. I mean, not funny. It can be deemed offensive, you know,
right.
Truthfully. But I can understand why, you know, people would take offense to the way that she expressed her feelings about the situation. I will say this, that just kind of a narrow-minded view, you know, because she did speak about a lot of negative things. I would say, you know, when it comes down to famous people and her comment about it being slim pickings, everything is about, I would say that based off of where you're located at or who you tend to come in contact with the most. Like, you know, that's predominantly what they see. It's kind of bad, but when it comes down to class and status, you know, that the numbers aren't equivalent. That's actually, you know, a factual statement. So you're dealing with a person who has, you know, an abundance of money and they spend a lot of time out in the, you know, everyday world, you know, across the world, not just, you know, here locally, they're just experiencing a lot of different things. They tend to come in more contact with, you know, the opposite race. Now, I'm not going to say that that turns into a preference, but because of the abundance of, you know, white women that they do come across, then it's going to be easier for them to, you know, find that person. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say it. I think it's, you know, horrible for her to make a statement that it's slim pickings and she's starting to be making, you know, very graphic about how, you know, the weight of a woman or a big weight of black women or the, you know, their strong, you know, personalities, I would say it like that, you know. It seems to be a little bit, you know, sadly because I've been in relationships with white women. And they were, you know, they had the same personality. I don't think that that is, you know, necessarily the specific case. I just think that what they're just just happen to come across those women more often than not when the class is equal, where, you know what I'm saying, where you have the same amount of, you know, black women and white women or Hispanic women, and whatever the case may be, when this, the playing field is level, then I think the numbers will be, you just, it's just, the media actually plays a strong part in it. You made a valid point when you said, you know, the media, you know, it's what you see. You see that so often, and that, you know, it's always, you know, heavily publicized. You know, it's on the cover of magazines. It's on your TV. It's, you know, it's, you know, that's the red carpet that they can't wait to show you. You know, that's the thing. Those are the things that they act, because you don't see, you know, the, you know, you mean, you do see them every once in a while, the Denzel Washington, the, you know, the Will Smiths. Those who were saying, you know, plenty of money, you know what I'm saying? But I guarantee that even though you see them with, you know, black women right now, that I ain't going to say that, you can't say that they've never been with a white woman, but, yeah, they've made that choice. It's about choice. Everything is about choice. I might say it's preference, but if that's what you come across a lot, then you know what I'm saying, then it's going to be easier for you to develop a relationship with a person that, you know what I'm saying, with that race. That's how I look at it. Trying to make sure I was getting across clear enough, you know, but.
All right. So I have a question, because you mentioned the media and the stereotypes that are brought out in the media and on television. Do you think that is a common stereotype of black women, the things that are listed that Stacey talked about being, you know, angry, overweight, you know, all of the things. Do you think that stereotype is emulated on the movies and in TV shows in the media right now?
Me personally, just across the speaker, I think that, you know, it can be interpreted that I can see how that can be the interpretation, because, you know, if you walk into a grocery store or, you know, any place that has a magazine stand, and you look at, you're going to see what, Vogue, Cosmopolitan. I'm not trying to, you know, give anybody shout-outs or anything, but when you see, you know, and they say great shape, and then the person that you see on the cover is, you know, a white female. You know what I'm saying? That's advertisement. Then it creates a thought, you know, it plants a seed. You know, constantly. Now, if you constantly, you know, saying that like that, and then this is supposed to be quote-unquote the right shape, you know, I can't say, to me, that's not, you know what I'm saying, how it is, but if that's how they're portraying it to be, then of course, you know, if you see, I have enough people who constantly seeing that, and then they see others who don't fit that, you know, description, then they create that stereotype then becomes created. Well, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Then they'll say, well, yes, you know, well, if 115 pounds, you know, or less is the perfect weight, you know, for a female, then a woman who, you know, is 150 pounds, 60 pounds, 70 pounds, 100, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, then that creates the, oh, she is, you know, overweight, you know, she's fat or whatever. Personally, yeah, I think that's stupid to, you know, have that, you know, as a specific, you know, how should I say, preference, you know, in the size of a woman makes a difference, you know, but that's what happens. The media is putting out so much, you know, that's what you see on TV. Oh, that's the right person. Or when they talk about, oh, the beauty of, you know, this person, Angelina Jolie, or the beauty of Britney Spears. You know, they putting this, that's what you see, you know, the blonde hair, the blue eye, over and over and over and over and over again, highly publicized. Oh, this is beauty, this is beauty, this is beauty, this is beauty, this is beauty. Then that in their heads, they create that, well, it's not that, if that's not the description, then that's not beauty. I think that's, you know, stupid way to look at it. But those who be corrupted like that is terrible, but that is what happens. That is how the stereotype becomes, you know, the stereotype.
Right. I mean, I could see a lot of that in the media. Like you said, I do see how the media can portray, you know, certain women not of color to be, you know, that picture of beauty and so forth. Mm. But then when I think about it, on the flip side, though, I mean, really, just standing in the line in the grocery store, you do see tons of magazines with, you know, the Halle Berrys, the Janet Jacksons, the, you know, Angela Bassetts, and those women, beautiful black women, on the covers of these magazines. So I agree that there are tons of articles and magazines and so forth out there that portray this beautiful white image. But I think we have a balance with the black image as well. I think there is a little bit more than that. I think it's a little bit more than just that.
You think,
you know,
it's balanced?
I'm sorry. For me personally, I do think when we were just talking about magazines, I'm just going off that example that you just used about magazines and so forth and the pictures that we see. Honestly, I think there's a balance there because, again, it does go back to that preference. You know, some men prefer the more curvaceous woman and so forth. And I'm not even talking about race right now. You know, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about preference in terms of the woman herself as far as the physical beauty. So I think there is a balance there. I think it's just a little bit deeper than that because one thing that came to mind with me is when you talked about their circle and the people that they're around and so forth, I think it's more so the mindset because, you know, how we talk about this all the time about aligning yourself with like-minded individuals. And so it makes me think when I'm looking at this whole list of men, and I can tell you there's another list that's in this article where the black guy, the black man responds, I don't want to say black guy, but black man responds, and he lists some examples of individuals that are married to black women, and he also named a few, probably like three white men that have been known to date black women as well. So it's a really small list in comparison to the black men that date white women. But it made me think, I was really looking at the names, you know, that were listed in this email, in this article, and I'm like, it makes me think, is there something that was going on with these black men at the time that made them feel like maybe there were some insecurity issues or whatever it may be to make them be more attractive to a white woman? I don't think they were more attractive to a white woman because of looks. I think it's something more mental going on there. You know, I think maybe it was more of an emotional need that needed to be fulfilled. And it makes me want to know more about their background, you know. Was there something that happened at home? What type of relationship did they have with their own mothers? What type of images did they see growing up? You know, how was the black woman portrayed in their family and in their environment growing up? So those are the questions that I have, you know, and it makes me think, ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to be attracted to those individuals that are a reflection of you, regardless of race. So if you have this closed mind, you're going to attract more closed-minded individuals into your life, if that makes any sense. So it could be that these men just, we're not aware. You know, I don't know what their level of awareness was. I just think it's more than the look. I think there's something that's just deeper than that. And I read this article, go ahead, Ayo, go ahead.
I'm just, you know, as I'm listening, I'm thinking, you know, at this point, I feel in 2010, where we're at with just the whole vibe of the world, and you know, you can be in LA today and London tomorrow or in Africa next week, where it's not like we're isolated into into our own little community. You know, it's like the world is so much bigger and we can reach it, and we are reaching it. And I think we're starting to learn that the commonalities are so much deeper than the color of your skin. Like, you know, no matter what, the core fundamental problems that we all deal with, you know, whether it's lack of money or not enough or, you know, what college am I going to go to, education, you know, finding the best school, that those things or finding love and, you know, wanting to be treated well or whatever it is, they are the same no matter what color the person is. You know, I have white females that are going through divorces just like black females are going through divorces. I mean, we're so much more than, I feel we're so much more than the color of our skin now because we're starting to get past that and understand that, you know, it's not necessarily maybe a deficiency in me that I am, you know, attracted to somebody who's another color, but, you know, that our spirit really, you know, we have a social connection. So I think the times are changing, and I think we have to not take it personally that, or think that something's wrong with me being a black woman, that, you know, something's wrong with me because, you know, I don't have a black man, you know.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I want to say thank you for that comment because that's exactly how I feel. That's what you said makes so much sense to me. And if everybody could actually do it, it's funny because, you know, I don't want to talk too much about her for not being on the call, but my wife, you know, she's one of those people. Even it's funny because she is a dynamite. Yeah, she does feel the same way when it, she feels offended when sometimes when she see a black man with a white woman. This being, an, you know, that's weird coming from the fact, I think it's weird because she's half, you know, white herself, but that's how she feels. And I always say that, you know, I think that we can't, you know, be pigeonholed into, you know, just so close-minded and held in a box because the world is so much bigger than us.
Right.
And so many different people you're going to come across that you can, you know, you can't be offended by a, you know, a relationship that does not involve you. You know, I don't understand how that offends you, you know, because I'm, you know, it's so, I mean, it's got to be so much more than, you know, I can't believe that it's just, oh, they just prefer a white woman. That's, I just can't see it being that that's the one sole preference that they have. That's a rough assumption with the many different types of women that you could come across and, you know, the different personalities and the different experiences. I just think that in that point in time where they are at that point in time and that they met that person that they're with, that that person fit their need right then. You know,
right.
It's at that point, that's where they were. And I'm glad that, you know, a person can be as open-minded to be able to, you know, welcome an experience or be open to the possibilities of, you know, not being told that you have to be with this type of person. You know, if that's the case, you know, then, I mean, there's so many different things that would not have taken place if we were supposed to stick within some specific, you know, class or race or, you know, there's so many things that would have never come up. I don't think that, you know.
Like Q wouldn't be here. Isn't that right, Q?
Right, exactly. You know, that would be true. Right, that would be terrible. I wouldn't have my wife. That's a horrible, you know, that. And I love her, you know, just the way she is. You know what I mean? So why would I, you know, feel like, I think it's bad that, you know what I'm saying, we look at it so negatively, you know, because it could be, you know, it's so much more than that. I think if we look within ourselves and, you know, make sure that we're okay on the inside, then it doesn't matter what anybody else is doing because you're going to be happy anyway. That's what, you know, fix you. If you have a problem with what's going on with, you know, outside that you're looking at and you have a problem with that relationship, you shouldn't, because that's that relationship. It really does not really truly affect you because there's, and if it does, there's something wrong with how you're looking at yourself. You know, you have to be, you know, be able to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, yes, I'm perfect for whoever I'm with, you know, and that's all that should matter. And that person was perfect for that person, who, no matter the color, no matter where they came from, no matter, you know, whether or not he came from a project background and she came from, you know, the suburbs. That should make not one bit of difference that, you know, I always hear this comment, but like, oh, well, how does she understand your struggle? Yeah, she doesn't have to, you know, experience your struggle to be able to help you through the struggle. I mean, I don't believe that, you know. She can show you the other side, you know, experience. You can learn from one another. You know, I think you'll balance each other out, but that's how I view things, you know. I don't look at it negatively. I can't find a negative in a person being happy in a relationship, regardless of, you know, they being opposite colors. I think that's retarded. I'm sorry.
Right.
For those who feel that they're different. I just think it is.
But one thing I heard earlier about someone making a comment like, you know, we're open-minded and we're such a bigger world now. It's so much easier for everybody to say that I'm open-minded and I don't see color, but it's that much hard to act upon it. You know, I've attempted to date other races, and it just so happens most of my relationships happen to be a black girl. But there are so many people out there that haven't even thought about dating somebody that's not their race. Or won't even attempt to do it for whatever reason there is, you know?
Right.
That's right.
I want to know more from Q, because I know you're saying a couple of things, but I think you've been a little quiet. I really want to know about your experience, because I know that from what I've seen and learned about you, that you have more of a your look, basically. I know you're biracial, Korean and Black, mm-hmm. but looking at you, many people confuse you for being of Latino descent. Right?
True.
Interesting in itself. Like, how did that's just interesting. I think that's so cool. But anyway, so with that being said, so obviously you don't look, you don't have strong African features. I'll put it that way. You don't have strong African features. Whereas you said you're dating a Black woman that I'm assuming does have stronger African features.
Right.
What type of experience, what happens when you're out in public, because I'm curious about that. I've seen people in certain places, get the looks and so forth, and it's just, it's ridiculous to me, but I'm just curious, have you had any of those types of experiences with you dating Black women?
It's been a very mixture of experiences depending on where we are in location. We actually met in college, and while we were in college, it was kind of like, they're together, no big deal. But if we're in a predominantly Black city, like maybe Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
we would still get looks, but I don't know if it's because who we are or it's because it looks like she's dating a Hispanic man,
Wow.
Mm. Looks from who? Who do you get looks from?
Who do you get looks from? Usually, and what's funny, but I didn't think about it tonight, usually it is from other Black women.
Right.
But we could be somewhere maybe where it's predominantly white, and, I guess because we're both minorities, they're just like, oh, that's a minority couple. But if we're in a city like Atlanta, and we're walking or whatever, every now and then we will get a look like, almost like, why are they together?
Do you guys think that that is Black, like our culture is more, or is less accepting of biracial relationships, or do you guys think that we're more accepting of other cultures and
less.
Races and so forth?
I think we're less accepting. I think it's less. Yeah, I'm going to tell you why, too. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Bob?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. All right, I'm gonna tell you why I think so, and I think it's based off of our history,
mm-hmm.
I think that's really what it is, because, this is not a personal, it's just an assumption. It's my opinion, of course, but I'm just gonna express it. I think based off of how our race actually has been afflicted, by, the opposite, any other race, the opposite race, being white. We'll start with that because that's really how this whole thing started. That because of those experiences, in our history, that we were taught and it's been passed on generation. I think it's your teaching, honestly, that came from home, that, you should be with your own kind. Because we were assaulted. A Black woman was rapped, was raped repeatedly, over and over and over again to create the, the mixed culture that we have, a lot of it right now. And they, of course, and then they saw their strong Black men back then being, looked at differently, and, the winks, the sly remarks from the white women back then, that it became commonplace for them to look at them like, why are you doing that? Or, that shouldn't be what's happening, because you see what's going on, you know that the master is coming in here and doing this, and then they start to teach, it starts to get passed on to, stick with your own kind. And I think the split started then, and now we do, I think that's because of that it is looked at a lot more closed-minded on our part because of the fact that, that's why I think we tend to be offended by it, or a female tends to be offended a little bit more by the situation, because, like, why? I mean, haven't they had enough? Haven't they done enough to us? It's that they take it personal, and, like, it's still going on right now. But that was hundreds of years ago, I think that the problem... is that we brought the past with us. Yes, we can't get away from it because it's a part of our history. Yes, yeah, our history makes us who we are today. But it can make you stronger, you know, it can make you weaker. And I think that a lot of times it weakened, you know, it closed the mind. I ain't going to say maybe weak is not a good word. I think it just closed the thought, you know, of the possibilities of it being so open. Because, right, it's now it's unhealthy. Yeah, right now it's completely offensive because it's like it's still happening right now. But that's not still happening right now. That's not the experience that we're going with. But it created, you know, it created, the problem was created, and then it was passed on through generations and generations. That's why I think, that's why I think that it's still going on right now. That's why I still think it's still looked at. So, well, why aren't we good enough? You know, is it, you know, don't they have enough? I mean, of course, you know, I can understand if that's what you were taught, but you should be able to grow within yourself and see that, you know, I mean, we live in a melting pot. That's what happened, you know. That's the world that we live in. That's the country that we live in. It's hard for you to feel like, you know, I don't understand how a person, I don't look at a white man who's dating a black woman and be like, wow, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, what was she thinking? You know, why would I? Because, you know, good for you. If that's what makes you happy, that's what makes you happy. You know, I'm not offended by
but
that.
Is that a quantity thing, though? Is it a quantity? Because, you know, they like, you hear the ratio, like, it's not that many. There's so many more black women than black men. So, you know, that's that whole Slim Pickens thing where, you know, just as far as numbers, I don't know what the stats are now. I remember when I was in school, they were like, we were like one woman to, or like 7 or 10 women to like one man. So is it like is it really like that? Like, so women are like, we're like vultures. We have to like, we gotta get you guys, you know, because it's so few.
And it's probably, you know, and that actually is a really good point because, you know, before I moved to Georgia, I'm from Baltimore originally. I lived down here when I went to high school and then I moved away. Before I moved back, you know, you always hear, you know, I heard the stat of female-to-male ratio. I used to just dream, before I was married, you know, I was single, I used to be like, man, I cannot wait to get to Atlanta. I'm serious. Like, I mean, because all you heard was, man, it's 10-to-1 female-to-male ratio. I'm like, are you serious? That's a factual number? Is that a myth? Like, that's like the dream scenario for a man. Like, oh, my God, it's that many women to one male? That's crazy. But world, and you know, across the country, it's like that. That's actually the way that it is. I mean, that's the norm. So I can understand. I mean, I guess it would make sense why, you know, you feel like.
So was that a real perception, though? Did you feel like that when you got to Atlanta? Did you feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm in heaven. I got 7.
No, well, I know when I moved down, though, because I moved down here married, so I can't feel like that.
Oh,
please,
okay,
don't.
Okay.
Let's not cause,
right,
any,
answer,
let's not cause any problems. Let's not cause any problems. No, I came down here married. Let's. No. But I'm saying that was the perception. You know, you hear it all the time, and because of that, you know that the possibility of males, like, man, we thriving. I mean, well, I would thrive in an environment like that myself personally, but I can understand the female perspective where that makes sense. What makes sense where we're like, well, dang, I don't have enough out here to pick from as it is, and now. You know, and now I got to compete against other women. Like, you know, so I mean, I can see both sides. But I just think we should be able to, you know, anybody should be able to look, since the world that we live in, I think anybody should be able to look at a situation and be like, okay, be happy for that person and just feel confident in the fact that you can find the person for you. I mean, the reality is, you know, that is the number. We are women outnumber men, period.
Is that a real fact, though? You know, I once
that's,
heard that 90% of facts are made up.
No.
Well, made up and misinterpreted. They are made up or misinterpreted. But
yeah, that is true. But I think that
behind that, though. That's
that ratio may not be 10-to-1. That may be a, you know, a fabrication. But yes, it's definitely at least 5. I'm telling you, it's out there. You come go to any go out to any event, anywhere. I don't care where it is. It can be a predominantly male type of event. If the female is going to outnumber the male. That's what's going to happen.
What do you think?
Another twist to that is that I don't think black women act as vultures to find good men. I really do think they don't know what a typical good man is supposed to be like. A prime example is majority of my black female friends who say, you know, quote unquote, they can't find good men, they're the same ones that would date, you know, the thug or the drug dealer or the guy from I have friends with master's degrees and building their businesses, and they can't find the black women. So it's weird, like they can't find that common ground where they can meet, you know?
Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting.
But that's the interesting twist. It's almost like
right, you don't know what's good for you.
Like in theory, I'm not what people will call a stereotypical attractive black man because I'm not 6'4 with dreads and
sounds right. Like
crump music, you know? They see me in a suit. But, you know? They see me in a suit and they already think down about me, like I'm almost too good for them or whatever the case may be. So they go off to this guy with no case of doing anything for life. And then whatever happens, the shit fell apart. And then some women get scorned by it. And I think that's where the whole black women are angry all the time comes from. Because some women are scorned, but they have the saying that they are hard to let go of, what's the best word to use? I guess of the past relationships. But that's just, again, my experiences and what I've seen.
Wow.
I
know, but, that's a good point. I mean, I think that's a good point.
But,
you know, you start.
Quentin, we should hang out, man. We should talk more often because that's a great perspective. Like, really, really, really.
But that's what, you know, that's what I faced with growing up, you know.
That's true. You know, what is the definition of the good man?
What is a good black man supposed to be like?
Is he supposed to be rich? That's my question because it's weird because I had a conversation with my wife and we had this conversation and it was like funny because we've known each other since we were children, like literally since we were like 7, and when we were teenagers, you couldn't pay us to think that we was right for each other at that point in time. That's honest. And when we actually got together, even then, truth be told, she was like, you know, I wasn't her quote-unquote type at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Now, funny that, you know, she said that, but you know, honestly, I always, once when we got together, I knew that I was her type. That's how I felt. You know, within me. But it's because she had created this image, and that's what happens. You create this image of what you think is your perfect mate. Yeah, and that image, you know, you drew that up, and it might look good on paper, but in all actuality, that's what it is. It's paper. It's not real life.
Yeah.
You know, that's not real. That's not the way that it is, you know. And if you're waiting for that, you know, perfect scenario, you may be waiting for the rest of your life. You may be a lonely person. You can't. And I think that's, you know, very good statement. That's what happens. You have created this image, but honestly, that image, even if it was that perfect person, are you confident enough to seek that person out? Because if you're not, then how are you actually going to come? You know, you have to create the opportunity. I would say that. You're offended by the fact that Charles Barkley is, you know, with a white woman. Or you're offended by the fact that Gil Cooper Gooding is dating a white woman. If that offends you, what did you do to put yourself in a place where you would have came across Cooper Gooding and proved that you was actually the perfect woman for him?
That goes into my next point. Before we go to that, though, hold on 1 second, Carlton, because we have someone that's been waiting, a caller that's been waiting to make a comment. Hey, welcome to the call.
Hi, everyone. This is Anissa West.
Hey, Anissa.
Hey, how are you, ma'am?
I am well. I have been listening in, and you guys are really bringing up some great points, and it got me to thinking about, you know, some of the root causes of some of the, you know, people feeling offended when they see someone of another, you know, particularly African-Americans seeing people, other African-Americans dating someone of another race or ethnicity. And it's something I've given a lot of thought to because I personally didn't really date African-American men myself until 2010. So, I mean, unless you count what happened in high school, which I don't. but throughout the years dating people of, I mean, of course I married Asian, but then after that I dated Native American and then people of various ethnicities. And I was constantly had people approaching me, about, you know, well, why would you be with someone, you know, who's not black? Why would you do this? And being someone of an anthropology background, I start wondering, well, why do they think this way? Why are they saying that? What's at the root of this? And over again, what I was getting from a lot of men is, how can this Native American man please you? How can this Asian guy please you? How can this Hispanic man please you? And I was getting this constant sort of, it was starting to look like a trend. It's like, okay, so these people are sort of overcompensating. I mean, you know, they're kind of asserting that they have sort of some sort of superhuman sexual ability, you know, because you're African American. You know, like, don't act like you haven't heard it before. Cause
No, that's funny. It's true. Yes, sir. That's true. That's true.
You know, people act like, you know, because they're African American, I'm sure it happens with women too, but because I'm a woman, I'm not being approached with this type of conversation from women, because it just hasn't happened. But, you know, I get a lot of feedback from men saying, you know, like, you know, certain that they have some sort of superhuman, you know, ability, and like the African American male is sexually superior to other ethnicities. And for me personally, that is the biggest turn off. And one of the reasons why I find it difficult for me to date a lot of African American men, at least in this area, you know, that where I'm living, that has been an issue for me. That mentality drives me crazy because in my mind, I'm like, we're just human.
You just answered my question, because that's exactly what I was going to ask. What actually is the root cause why you didn't date black men to 2010? But if it's their cockiness,
well,
I can understand.
I mean, other than the fact that I was married for almost 10 years. I mean, that's part of it, and I married someone who is not African American, but I've been single for 4 years. And it just, for one, hadn't happened. And then when I did kind of, after getting lots of pressure from, you know, friends and just sort of community pressure, oh, you should be dating African American men. And I said, okay, fine, I'll try it.
Was there really a reason why you didn't date black men in the past, or was it just really because you just happened to be dating somebody of a different race by coincidence, because that's who you were into at the time? Or were you actually staying away from black men for any particular reason?
I wasn't actually staying away for any particular reason. It just so happened that the people who approached me, and I was a different person, by the way. I used to not be the kind of person who approached someone else. So now I'm a whole another different type of person at right now. My confidence is different. I will walk right up to someone. But there was a time when I waited for people to approach me, and the people who approached me were coming at me with that type of mentality. And it just drove me up a wall. I just, I would get excited and be like, oh, this person's great, until he opened his mouth and said something like that. You know, it was like, thanks. I was real excited and looking forward to being able to enjoy this experience with a guy who kind of looks like me, until he started saying those things that I didn't really want to hear. You know?
But you know what sucks about that? It's probably because that lame line worked on a girl previously.
Right.
That's probably that's what sucks about it. It was sucks that he used some lame sexual comment and it happened to work on a girl. So therefore, he's already in that mentality that that's what I gotta do.
That's the approach.
That's how I'm supposed to get that girl I want. You know, I gotta be cocky because that's what she wants. That's what the previous girl wants. That's what people on TV think I should be like. That's what I'm gonna be.
Right. The quote unquote strong superior black man. Oh well, you know. I think it's that's weird. That's just weird. I'm sorry. That's weird. It's not an appealing, you know. One, I can understand why a person wouldn't be attracted to you if they came at you with, you know, this.
Oh yeah, I mean that's completely understandable. You shouldn't be attracted to anybody that comes off to you that way. I mean that makes perfect sense.
Perfect sense.
It's just unfortunately.
Okay, so we're saying that there may be, so it's just saying that there may be the whole, you know, once you go black, you never go back. All that.
The stereotype continues. The stereotype
continues. That's all it is.
That's what it always comes back to, is the stereotype.
It always comes back to the stereotype. That's on both sides of the fence. That's just the funny thing. Yeah. This whole conversation, all of that, you know, both sides, is all based off a stereotype.
Yeah.
It's all based off.
Going back to even the letter that we opened up with, all that is just what people stereotype black people as.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how open we get, no matter how open-minded we are, or how much we grow, those stereotypes are unfortunately going to stick with us for a while.
Deeply embedded.
Until we stop acting like it.
That's right. Time to let the seeds, stop planting the seeds. We need to plant some new seeds. That's what we need to plant new seeds.
Ooh, love it.
You know, until men are able to, until black men are able to, like, wear clothes that fit and start wearing gold chains and spend so much money on star trim. I mean, they're always going to feed into that stereotype, and that's forever going to be a stain on us until we can get over that.
Oh man, that's rough. That's
funny. I mean, but that right there is a stereotype. You know that every black man is.
We don't have that much time.
You know that every black man is a pimp, is a hustler, the things that we are working against, that we have to sustain a mind shift, that's where we need to head. We have to break through those barriers. And we have 300, 400 years of history of where this is implanted in our brains that this is, this is how we're supposed to feel. So
it's funny, just the comment that you made about, I'm a nonconformist. I believe that hate is a strong word, but it's the truth. I really completely despise if a person feels like they can look at me and tell me exactly who I am or how I act or whatever. Because I get that so much, but you have to fit a specific look. And this is what happens, and this is why I say, you know, the images that we see and then the negative feelings that we get about those images, instead of creating, you know, trying to get inside of, be able to see inside of the person, all we see is what's going on the outside. You know, that's such a closed-minded view, you know, I just look at a person and then stop short at, you know, what I saw, yeah, I could, you know, I'll be maybe selling myself completely short. I may be taking so much away from that person based off of what I see, because there's so much more to a person than what's going on the outside.
You know, at the end of the day, you guys all shared some really great points, and I'm so happy that you guys were all on. And thank you, Anissa, for calling in. She's awesome. I love her energy. But at the end of the day, we all pretty much said the same thing. You know, you kept hearing the same thing, open mind, open mind, open mind, throughout this entire conversation. And I would say, you know, just in one simple phrase, don't miss the bus. And when I say don't miss the bus, don't miss out on so much opportunity that is out there. And not only in relationship, but just think about if we were to maintain this closed mindset in any other area, whether it's in business or relationship, imagine how detrimental that would be. You know, it's important for us to have that open mindset, not only in business but also in relationships, especially when you think about matters of the heart. You know, intimate relationships are one of the most important aspects of any person's life, right? You know, who doesn't want to have a good, solid relationship, a loving relationship, a fruitful relationship? Most people want that. Now, what journey or what avenue you choose to take to get that is totally up to you. But my thing is, at the end of the day, you know it's a journey, so don't miss the bus. I would encourage people not to close their minds off to dating outside of their race. Of course, we all have our preferences. My thing is, if ultimately your goal and your destination is love, you don't know how you're going to get there. You don't know how many bus stops there are going to be. You don't know how many roadblocks there are going to be. But I would just say, at the end of the day, everyone on this call has said the same thing. You have to have an open mind. You have to have an open mind to everything that goes on. And I love that, because at the end of the day, you know, we have Q that's biracial. We have Carlton that's African-American married to a biracial woman, you know, and then we have others that say, well, they do have preferences to date outside of their race or within their race. But at the end of the day, like I said, it does not matter. We just have to maintain that open mind. We have to be willing to change. We have to be able to accept people's different perspectives, different cultures, different backgrounds, because it's in all of that, that total experience is where we experience the most growth. You know, when we're experiencing other cultures, other perspectives, just everything, there's a whole different side. There's a whole other world out there, as Io said. There's so much out there. And if we would just go ahead and take those dark lenses off, you know, and just really see the world and people for who they really are, not the color of the skin, you know, and I don't want to sound like I'm preaching, but it's just, it's so important for people to understand this, that you have to maintain that open mindset. It's only at that point that you're going to be able to grow. And I truly believe that relationship is just one part, but if you take on that attitude in terms of relationship, you'll see it trickle down into other areas of your life. If you start to keep that open mindset in terms of relationship, you'll also have that in business. You'll also have that, you know, whatever you're doing out in your community. You'll just start to embrace that whole open mindset, right, if that makes any sense. So I thank you guys for sharing your perspective, because, like I said, initially when I read that article, it was like, whoa, this is crazy. I mean, immediately, I don't know if it's the black woman in me. What did she say, the angry black woman in me? Maybe I have a little bit of that, you know, bone chic will grow in me. I don't know, you know, but I don't know. Maybe she's there. Who knows? But at the end of the day, I love that it was even expressed, that it was even shared, because it led to conversations like this. It led to this conversation we had tonight. And I think it's important for people to have these types of conversations. And I encourage listeners, you know, have these roundtable discussions with your friends and with your family members and people that are close to you, and just learn from different perspectives. You know, share your thoughts and be totally transparent, because you never know what you're going to learn, how you're going to grow from that experience. So that is it for today's show.
Stacey, I got two things.
Close us out. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I got two things real quick. Billy said, he's in the chat, he said, you can learn reputation in an hour, but character takes a little more time. That's number one that we're gonna close with. Number two thing that I would like to, as we're talking about mind shift, that I want to close with is a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that the most dangerous thing in all the world is sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. So we have a lot of that going on, and that's where the shift. Those are things to ponder as we roll into the week, and see you guys next week, same time, same place.
Right here, Mind Shift Talk Radio. You guys be blessed again. Thank you, CB. Thank you, Q. And I will talk to you later, Dr. Io. You guys have a great week, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Good night.
All right.